Thanks for tuning in to the Thirst for More podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley. Thirst for More podcast was created to help strength and conditioning coaches, personal trainers, fitness enthusiasts, and anyone that loves lifting heavy shit all be connected under one roof. We take deep dives into coaching, programming and training, running gyms, nutrition, and overall improving your knowledge in the field of strength and conditioning. If you're new here, I'm glad you're able to tune in and hope you can just take away one awesome piece of information today to help you along with your journey. If you're a returning supporter, I appreciate you being along for the ride. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hey there, welcome to the Thirst for More podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley. And today we're talking about something that's been taking social media by storm lately, but more importantly, has been quietly transforming lives behind the scenes as well. So today we're diving into 75 hard. And before you roll your eyes or thinking that just another fitness trend or challenge, let me stop you right there. What we're really talking about today is the science of mental toughness, psychology of habit formation, and why sometimes the most profound transformations come from doing simple things consistently, even when you don't feel like it. We've all been there trying to have to do things that we don't want to do. Me personally, one of my big things is brushing my teeth. I'll be honest with you, I hate doing it. I do it because I know the benefits of doing it, and it's a habit, and I know that there's positive benefits, but just the ultimate task of doing it every day really irks me. So let me know in the comment section below if you're listening on YouTube, what's something that immediately you do every day because you know you should, but you really don't like to do it. If you haven't listened on Apple iTunes or Spotify, thanks for listening to me there. You can also check me out on YouTube as well, where you can also interact with me. So kind of carry on here, though. I kind of want to start with a question that might actually make you uncomfortable. So think back, when was the last time you followed through on something difficult for more than just a week? Not something you enjoyed, not something that you felt good, but something you genuinely challenged you, and that you committed to seeing it through the end. If you're like most people, you might be searching your memory right now thinking that's not a judgment, right? Not trying to judge you, it's just simply reality of how our brains are actually wired. We're designed to seek comfort and avoid discomfort. That's just kind of like the natural ebb and flow of homeostasis. You know, being someone that's in strength and conditioning, I know how important that is from an adaptation piece, but also how our body can have that alarm phase and that adaptation phase and how that kind of works. So mentality-wise and the psychology-wise is no different. So what have I told you, though, that your ability to override that quote-unquote programming is the single most important skill that you can actually develop and can do a lot for your life. So in today's episode, that's really what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to break down 75 Hard, not necessarily as a fitness program. I do think there's some huge benefits there. We'll talk about that later. But also just as almost like a quote-unquote masterclass in mental conditioning. So why it works, why so many people see great results with it, what are the real benefits of it beyond just the physical transformation that you get? Again, I think it's awesome. If you've done it and you've seen great physical progress, great for you. But more importantly, how you can approach it strategically to maximize your chances of success if you do choose to use it. So whether you're considering doing the challenge, you've tried it before, didn't finish, or you're just actually curious about what is 75 Hard, all my friends are doing it, or I hear people doing it, I did the research, done a little bit of work to give you the information of what 75 Hard truly is and what it represents. Before we get in too deep, I also want to make a disclaimer. I have not done 75 Hard. So I'm not speaking from personal experience. I'm merely looking at some of the research side of it, giving you the breakdown of the gist of what the actual program is, the pros, the cons, what you can kind of expect. I'll let you make that informed decision, okay? I've personally not done it. I'll talk about it later towards the end of the episode about why I've not jumped on the 75 Hard train, but want to be able to prepare you and arm you with everything that you might need in case if you do think it is something that you can benefit from mentally, physically, emotionally, and or even spiritually. So let's start with the basics, and I want to approach this a little bit differently than most explanations you've probably heard about 75 Hard. So it was created by Andy Freshla. I hope I'm saying his name right. While many people think of it as a fitness challenge, He actually describes it himself as a quote-unquote mental toughness program. The distinction matters because it changes how you approach each and every single day of the program. So here are the five non-negotiable rules that you have to follow for 75 consecutive days. So again, they're non-negotiable, right? So rule number one is follow a diet with no cheat meals and no alcohol. Notice that it doesn't specify which diet. It can be whatever you really want it to be. It can be keto, Mediterranean, plant-based, whatever works best for you. The key word here is to follow, okay? You pick your eating plan and you just stick to it religiously for 75 days. No exceptions, no quote-unquote special occasions, no just this once. 75 days straight of whatever nutrition approach that you choose to take. Not going to dive deep into that. I've done enough talking about nutrition just in general on my channel, just quality habits. I think this is where you pick what works best for you. But the goal here is that you're not going to have cheat meals with it. So if you take a certain approach, even if it's a balanced approach, you have ways to keep that in check so that you're not just eating ice cream every night, right? So rule number two, complete 2 45-minute workouts every day, and one of them must be outdoors. So again, notice the flexibility here with the structure. You choose your workouts, but you have to do them. Rain or shine, tired or energized, motivated or unmotivated. The outdoor component is particularly interesting from a psychological standpoint because it removes your ability to make excuses based on gym closures, equipment availability, or weather conditions, right? You can't make an excuse. You can always go outside. Your excuse typically revolves around the weather, right? But with this, it kind of takes that away. The goal is for you to do something outside. Most people are honestly probably going to go for a walk, especially if they've got a dog or something like that, but you get the idea. Basically, 2 45-minute workouts every day. Rule number three is to drink 1 gallon of water a day. Might seem kind of arbitrary, but there is some genius in its simplicity. It's measurable. It's consistent. It's something you don't have to think about throughout the entire day. You fill your gallon and jug of water up, and you can't really procrastinate drinking a gallon of water, right? It's going to force you to probably get up early all the time. It's going to force you to stay consistent drinking it because you're not going to be able to down half a gallon of water right before you go to bed. Rule number four, read 10 pages of a nonfiction personal development book. So this is not audiobooks, not fiction. You're not reading magazines, physical or digital pages that require focus and engagement. So this rule is designed to force you to invest in your mental growth. Rule number five is to take daily progress photo. This creates accountability and documentation. But more importantly, it requires you to confront your reflection every single day when you have to take that picture. So here's a crucial part that separates 75 hard from every other challenge. If you miss any component of any rule on any day, you start back over to day one. So not 2 days in, not 3 days in, not I'll make it up tomorrow or I'll add it on at the end. The goal is if you fumble, you go back to the beginning. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200, right? You go back to the beginning. So let's dive a little bit deeper here about why the specific rules were chosen. Because understanding the psychology behind them is what will help you succeed if you decide to take on 75 hard. So each rule serves multiple psychological functions. First, they're binary. You either did it or you didn't do it. I'll be honest, that's something I really like. Very simple yes, no. No maybes, unknowns, right? You did it or you didn't do it. There's no partial credit. There's no, that was good enough for today. There's no gray areas involved in this program challenge. It eliminates the mental gymnastics that we usually use to justify our shortcuts or our excuses or the issues that we have. We try to play these games with ourselves where we can try to justify, well, if I do this or if I did that, or if this wouldn't happen, that kind of all goes to the wayside with this program. Secondly, they pretty much span your entire day. So you can't knock out all five of them in just like 1 hour and be like, oh, I did it for today. I can kind of chill out the rest of the day. And the minute you wake up until you go to bed, you're actively engaged in this commitment from the water, from the nutrition, to taking that progress photo, to reading, right? To doing something physically active, both indoors and outdoors. You know, they don't have to be indoors. They can both be outdoors technically, but you're thinking about when you're going to get your training in or your physical activity in. Third, they're interdependent. So you miss one and you start everything over, right? There's not a makeup day or I can make up this workout. I'll just do one 90-minute workout versus two 45-minute workouts. That's not the way the program works. So this creates what psychologists call behavioral coupling. So each action reinforces your commitment to the others. They're basically intertwined. And finally, this is perhaps the most important piece, is that none of these rules are particularly difficult on their own. Reading 10 pages, not that difficult. Drinking water throughout the day, also not that difficult. So the challenge isn't necessarily in the complexity of the tasks. It's the relentlessness of doing them every single day, regardless of what happens in your daily circumstances. That's pretty key. This is where most people really misunderstand the program. They think it's about physical transformation. They're thinking about health benefits. And while many people obviously do experience some pretty great physical changes, that's actually a byproduct. That's not the goal of the program. The real transformation is to be up here psychologically in your head. So let's kind of talk about the psychology behind 75 Hard and why it works. And this is kind of, to me, where it really gets interesting, the psychology piece. Even though I'm not a psychologist and I've never been big into the psychology piece, sports psychology to me is somewhat interesting. And this takes some principles from that. And we'll kind of talk about those as well. But the program leverages several key physiological principles that most people don't understand about habit formation and mental conditioning. So the first one's going to be the principle of non-negotiable commitment. So first is the power of the non-negotiable commitment. So most of the time when we set goals or try to build habits, we leave ourselves escape routes, ways to get out, ways to justify what we did. I'll work out 5 times a week. It merely creates a negotiation in your mind about which days you'll skip, right? I'm not going to work out on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm going to work out Monday through Friday. Or I'll eat healthy most of the time. It's very vague. It gives you permission to define what most, quote unquote, actually means. When you're actually standing in line at Chipotle, or you're at the fridge and you're trying to make a decision, do I grab the Greek yogurt or do I grab the leftover brownies? Real life, been there with my wife's brownies and the Greek yogurt that's in the fridge. And she still has ridiculed me for one night choosing the Greek yogurt as the dessert over the brownie. Not joking. Real life story. So 75 Hard is designed to eliminate these escape routes entirely because there's no flexibility. There's no quote unquote good enough. There's no partial completion. Might seem harsh, but it's actually liberating because there's only one option. You got to do the damn task. Stop wasting the mental energy on the decision of whether or not to do it. You're just going to do it because you're committing yourself to this challenge. So the compound effects of small wins is number two. And the program creates what psychologists call efficacy building. Each day you complete all 5 tasks, you're proving to yourself that you can keep those commitments even when you don't feel like it. This isn't just like quote-unquote feel-good psychology. It's measurable change that your brain's neural pathways. So every time you choose the discipline over the impulse, you're literally rewiring your brain. The prefrontal cortex responsible for executive decision-making gets stronger with use, just like a muscle, okay? Meanwhile, the limbic system's impulses control patterns begin to shift as well. So this is all mental aspect of doing the change and doing the right decisions or completing the tasks. So there's also the all or nothing reset piece. So the restart rule is perhaps the most psychologically sophisticated aspect of the program because you know that missing one component means starting completely back over day one. And it changes your relationship with each individual task, excuse me. So suddenly, 10 pages of reading isn't just about reading. It's about preserving 30, 45, or even 60 days of the progress that you've put in. Imagine being 2 months in. You're not going to want to quit. You're like, man, I'm not going to want to redo this. This, you know, it's tough. So I'm making some growth. Why am I going to try to completely start over, right? You've built so much positive momentum. You want to keep that momentum. This creates what behavioral economists call loss aversion. The pain of losing your progress becomes more powerful than the temporary discomfort of completing the task. It's the same principle that makes people more motivated to avoid losing $100 than they are to gain $100. So think about that. There's delayed gratification training as well. So each rule requires you to delay immediate gratification for long-term benefit. You can't have the drink you want. You can't skip the workout. You don't feel like doing. You can't choose entertainment over reading. For 75 straight days, you're training the same mental quote-unquote muscle that predicts success in every area of life. So the Stanford Marshmallow Experiments famously showed that children who could delay gratification performed better academically, had lower rates of addiction, and were generally more successful as adults. 75 hard is essentially 75 days of advanced marshmallow training. Very interesting. The environmental design and forcing of functions is another piece that's interesting. So the outdoor workout requirement is particularly clever from a behavioral design perspective. It's designed to remove your ability to use common excuses like the gym's closed, the equipment's broken, the gym's too crowded. You can do push-ups in a parking lot. You can run around your neighborhood or go for a walk. You can do yoga outside in the park, underneath a tree, in your backyard. The environment becomes irrelevant to your commitment. Similarly, the water requirement creates natural checkpoints throughout the day. You can't procrastinate it. Like I mentioned earlier, you can't just keep putting it off. You've got to drink it throughout the day. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to finish it. So it serves a constant reminder to your commitment of the program. Think of the water as taking sips, chipping away at that throughout the day. Every day is that sip of water that you're taking throughout the day. Hopefully you can see this big picture blowing up here. Also, it's going to build identity formation through action. So 75 hard facilitates what psychologists call identity-based habit change. So instead of trying to motivate yourself by focusing on outcomes like I want to lose weight, which is very common with something like this program, you begin to see yourself as the type of person who keeps commitments regardless of the circumstances. So identity shift is profound here. You start to make decisions from the position of what would someone who always follows through do in the situation rather than how can I get out of this without feeling too guilty? That's a big mental shift. And I think that's a very important mental shift for any kind of goal setting. And that is one huge, huge takeaway from this program, in my opinion. The paradox of restriction creating freedom is another piece. So counterintuitively, the rigid structure of 75 hard often creates more freedom, not actually less. When you eliminate the constant decision-making about whether to follow through, you free up mental bandwidth for other areas in your life. So decision fatigue is real. It affects everything from your work performance to your relationships. Think about the millions of decisions that you probably have to make throughout a day. Maybe millions is a little high. We'll say thousands. All the decisions you have to make from what you're wearing to not even what you're wearing, the order you put on what you're wearing, you know, when you choose to go to the restroom, when you choose to leave for work, whether you get your lunch ready for the day or not, right? What you're actually going to have for dinner, what you're going to have for lunch, when you're going to work out, what you're going to work out, what your workout entails, the weight choosing selection, right? All those little things. I'm just naming stuff that I thought about just in my day or this day of recording, right? We have all those where by making certain decisions, you're going to actually increase your capacity for creative and strategic thinking in other areas, which can be huge if you happen to work in a place where you have to have mental creativity. Me doing this podcast creates mental creativity and thinking about what kind of episodes I want to make and what do I want to talk about and who do I want to educate and who do I want to try to help and what's my long-term goal, right? All those things are important to me. And if I can free up stuff, that non-decision-making for me, training is a good one. That's kind of like a non-negotiable for me. Pretty much train 5 to 6 days a week in some capacity from strength training or conditioning. That's a non-negotiable for me. So I don't have to think about, am I working out today? The question is, how's my workout going to be today, right? Big change there. Also, by the way, Diet Cherry Cola, Dr. K, Big K, Zero Sugar is where it's at, what I'm drinking today. So let's talk about some of the benefits and challenges here. So what can you realistically expect if you complete 75 hard? Because understanding both the benefits and the challenges will help you make an informed decision about whether this program is actually right for you or something that you can benefit from. I do think everybody can benefit from this. From doing my research, there's certainly pieces that I'm going to take out of this to try to improve my life. But we're going to talk about the whole program as a whole. So first, let's talk about the physical benefits. And obviously, many people experience significant physical transformation when you're working out twice a day in some capacity, following a structured nutrition plan. Again, whatever you choose that to be, you're following something that's structured. You're staying properly hydrated for all those 75 days. Physical change is going to be inevitable. Like we talked about, no alcohol being in there, right? No substance abuse. People often report weight loss, increased muscle definition, improved skin, improved energy levels, better sleep quality, all amazing things. As a health professional, that's things that I love to hear. But here's what's important to understand, that these physical benefits are pretty much secondary to the actual mental ones. So the physical transformation is visible proof of what's happening up here psychologically. That's kind of the goal behind the program. So if you happen to lose weight and see all these health benefits, awesome. I'm proud of it. That's able to make that kind of positive benefit in your life. Let's talk about the mental and emotional benefits. The psychological benefits are where Certified Hard actually shines. Participants consistently report increased confidence, not just in their physical appearance, but in their ability to tackle challenges in all areas of their life. There's a profound shift that happens when you prove to yourself that you can keep commitments even when circumstances are difficult. The confidence transfers to your career, your relationships, your financial habits, and every other area where following through actually matters. Many people are also reporting improved mental clarity and focus, huge in the kind of work society that we are at in the United States. If living somewhere else, you might have a better work-life balance, but work-life balance in the United States, in my opinion, is very unhealthy for most people, especially at the current state of this economy in 2025. So this makes sense when you consider that you're essentially training your attention and discipline every single day. The daily reading component alone creates a habit of focused, uninterrupted learning that many people haven't experienced in school. And I think this is huge. And maybe it's just my line of work and strength and conditioning and personal training that we're pretty, those of us that genuinely love what we do, we love to learn more. And we find the continuing education side very intriguing in our field. Now, unfortunately, most of the continuing education is done through social media and online. I'm kind of against that. I understand it. I obviously, ironically, am trying to educate you through a podcast or through YouTube, however you happen to be enjoying this content. But that's to be able to widen who we can reach. It's not really designed to replace the actual education side. Ideally, we still go meet with actual real people and have real conversations and do real networking. That's where I think my field really does shine. It's kind of promoted. It's kind of considered really good and beneficial. And I do like that. And I think this portion of getting other people that are not in those kind of fields to do something that's actually educational in their life, continuing to learn, is great for not only long-term health, mental acuity, mental focus, mental clarity, just so many great mental benefits to doing something to learn every single day. Yeah, most people are probably using podcasts or whatever, but actually picking up a physical book is a huge benefit. So let's talk about some relationship and social benefits. So interestingly, many participants notice improvements in their relationships, and it isn't necessarily because they look better physically, but because they're showing up more reliable, disciplined versions of themselves. When you know you can count on yourself, others learn they can count on you too. However, there can also be social challenges. So the no alcohol rule in particular creates a lot of social friction, especially if your social life revolves around drinking. Some people find that friends or family members aren't supportive of their commitment, which can be difficult but valuable learning experience about the people in their lives. So I'm not going to go too deep into the alcohol aspect as I sit here in my office where I've got my lovely liquor cabinet here with like 40 different bottles of bourbon as somebody that enjoys my bourbon. But I'll be honest with you, I've not had a sip of this bourbon that's in front of me for probably 2 or 3 months. I did have a drink last weekend at the Purdue football game. I almost always have a couple of drinks at the game that I go to. But you can see how the social aspect there is a big piece of that decision, right? I'm doing something that I physically enjoy with my wife, and that's my entertainment. And I've have this relationship of drinking bourbon, sometimes whiskey, depending upon what I choose to go with at that event. And that's been a routine now for going on 5 years, right? So it's kind of one of those things as routine, but doesn't mean I can't use 75 hard to replace that and be better. But I think the social challenge part is where it becomes very challenging for many people, especially if you're around those people. So it makes you think about all the people that you're around and how much alcohol is driving your social settings if you happen to be one of those people. Again, I'm somebody that does love my bourbon, but I do also acknowledge the fact that it's literal poison for your body. So again, I'm not clearly drinking a bottle or a bottle. That's a glass of bourbon every night. You know, I'm using it for special occasions, or I try things that I like, or use it as conversation piece when people come over to see if they want to drink, if they like bourbon, maybe it has something that they've not had, and we can, you know, enjoy that bottle. So let's talk about the time management challenge. So let's kind of be honest about the time commitment with this program. So 2 45-minute workouts plus the travel time to any outdoor locations or the gym, plus meal prep for the structured eating side, because you are going to have to prep some food if you are doing something structured, more than likely. Reading time, plus the water intake, which to me, it doesn't take any time, but still got to be cognizant of it. And then clearly the increased bathroom breaks, if you're increasing your water intake and you were really low, you're probably going to pee a lot for the first week or so until you get adjusted to this. There's some pretty significant time investment here. So some people will probably need to completely restructure their schedules from ground up. And this can be challenging, but it's also educational. So you quickly learn what you were spending time on that wasn't actually serving your goals. And I even hate to say spending time, which you were probably actually wasting time on. Social media being probably a big one if you look at that information on your phone and your screen time. There's also the social pressure challenges piece of it. So you're going to definitely face pressure during this program to make exceptions. Think about all the things that happen in a normal year. Birthday parties, work events, family gatherings, celebrations of some kind, college football for me this time of year. So that part of life doesn't pause for your 75 hard. It's actually part of the program's value is that you learn how to navigate those social situations while maintaining your commitments to yourself. Not, again, you talk about being pretty flexible. You can go to that stuff. You may have to take some food with you. Better take your water with you, right? Better not drink any alcohol. You're not going to probably have any sweets, right? If you do choose to eat there, you might be eating the protein and vegetables only, and that's it. So I would still go in with a plan if it was me, but you know, you can still see how it can be flexible and beneficial. So you might think that it technically makes you antisocial, but they usually are going to find they become better at planning and suggesting alternative activities that align with their goals. So again, I'm not going to tell you to not go to the birthday party because if you're 75 hard, I'm going to tell you to plan better and still go to the party. Or somebody like, hey, we're going to go out and drink tonight. And that's a place where you suggest, hey, let's go bowling or, you know, something like that. Throw in the axis. But you're not going to drink. That way they can drink, but you can still do something physically active, still be involved, still be in the social setting, still interact, and still have a really good time. They can do what they want to do, and you can do what you want to do. It's more of a compromise. There's also the mental fatigue challenge aspect. So typically it's seen around that 20, 30 days that many people would hit what called the quote-unquote mental fatigue. The novelty, the driven factor of getting on this program and getting started, you know, the shiny new object thing is gone. It's worn off. The motivation has faded, and you're nowhere near being at the end. You're not even halfway. So this is actually considered to be a valuable piece of the program, is that learning to continue when that initial motivation is gone, and discipline is really what's going to have to get you to the finish line. So it teaches you the difference between motivation and commitment, where motivation is more of a feeling, right? You've got the oomph and you're deep down, you're excited to do something, where feelings start to actually change here, where commitment is a decision that you've made and decisions that can remain constant regardless of how you feel. Again, going back to that, it's black and white. These are the 5 rules and objectives. these are what you do. You either do or you don't do them. There's also a quote-unquote perfectionism trap. So some people struggle with the all-or-nothing nature of the restart rule. So if you're someone who tends to lean towards perfectionism or has an all-or-nothing mindset that's been destructive in other areas of your life, you need to approach this program very carefully. The goal isn't to beat yourself up if you have to restart. It's to learn that starting over is always an option, and that consistency over time matters more than the perfect streaks. So think of it this way, that if you complete 75 hard and you make a lot of progress, theoretically a lot of great things have changed in your life. But you can go back to doing some of the older things that you did, having a drink every once a month, or you know, doing something like that, staying out late, or maybe you're not getting quite as much water, or you're having a little more sweets because you're off the 75 hard program. So going back to the beginning, really, if you think about it, especially if you're talking about getting 4 to 6 weeks in and you have to restart, you're really making a lot of quality life changes in the long run. I'm not going to condone somebody for continuing to fail. You don't want to try to fail. I want to wish you success and hope you have success if you choose to do it. But looking at the big picture, you can see how consistently over the course of a year, if you keep messing up, you're probably putting together a lot of really, really good days and streaks versus having just this chunk and being done. So don't beat yourself up too hard. Perfectionism can come back to bite you in a negative way, but something worth considering. And then there's going to be one challenge that doesn't get discussed enough is what happens after day 75. How do you integrate this in the rest of your life? So the program doesn't include a transition plan, and some people struggle with how to integrate what they've learned over their 75 days into a more sustainable long-term lifestyle. So the key is realizing that it is advanced training. It is not a lifestyle. It's like running a marathon or training for a powerlifting meet. It proves what you're capable of, but you're not going to run that marathon every single day for the rest of your life. You're not going to train for that powerlifting meet for every single day for the rest of your life. It's going to have ebbs and flows, as it should. So let's talk about some practical tips and a strategic approach that you can use for 75 hard. So if you're considering it, here's some things that can increase your chances of success. Let's talk about some pre-program preparation. Let's do some the meat prep before the meat prep, as Dave Tate from Elite FTS is calling it. You're prepping to get ready for the prep. First rule I'm going to say is don't start impulsively. Don't just do it because friend over here is doing it and they lost 20 pounds. All right. The programs require significant lifestyle changes, and you prepping will be crucial for you having the most success possible. So spending at least a week observing what you're doing with your own current habits and identifying the biggest challenges you'll face. Just step back from what you're doing and being like, okay, these are the five rules. How hard are some of these going to be to achieve? Well, I already drink plenty of water. That one's going to be easy. Oh, I already exercise 4 times a week. Can I figure out a way that I can implement that into my lifestyle to where I can get a second one in outside and figure out a way to still do something on those other days to still get 2 days of physical activity, right? You got to step back, kind of look at the bigger picture. Then open up your calendar and look at the next 75 days. Do you have any major events? Plan on going on traveling with friends, family, significant other? Commitments that will make it much more challenging, things that you're considering not wavering on. So it's not about finding necessarily an excuse that you can't start. It's just being honest and being strategic about your planning, right? If I know that I'm going to leave the country for 2 weeks, I'm probably not going to want to start that program because I don't even know what my diet might be like in a different country. What am I going to have access to? Am I going to be able to drink a gallon of water? Am I going to be able to get a gallon of water? Right? Am I going to have to continue to buy that? Is it going to be more costly during that time? Am I going to be able to get my physical activity in? Those are all really legitimate, serious questions that you should have to ask yourself. So again, going back to, you're not trying to find excuses. You're trying to set yourself up for success. And if that means pushing it back, that may not be a bad thing, depending on the circumstances you're looking at. So let's talk about choosing your nutrition strategy. So the program doesn't specify, again, what diet you have to follow. I think this is fantastic. I don't think pigeonholing people into a certain nutrition eating lifestyle is the best way to go. I think giving them some choices and them choosing what works best for them is a better way to be more sustainable, but it can also be a curse at the same time. So too much flexibility can then also lead back to that decision fatigue we kind of talked about earlier, but you clearly need to choose something that's sustainable for the 75 days. So my recommendation is clearly going to be to choose a diet that you can follow regardless of the circumstances. So you travel for work, you got a diet that's going to have to require specific meal preps and meal or meals at certain times a day, like carb cycling or whatever, may not be the best. But if you can plan ahead enough, then maybe it does work well for you. So you just need to make sure that you can plan your nutrition around like restaurants and things like that. If you happen to be somebody that does travel a lot for work, or you do happen to have a lot of outings that you have to actually go to like luncheons and things like that, real things to consider. But again, if you set your parameters, even if it's whether it's counting your macros, like I said, or keto or low carb or carb cycling, or if you're going to just say, hey, I'm going to put my numbers into a calculator and I'm just going to make sure I stay underneath this many calories per day, and you're free reign to do what you want, right? But it's say 500 calories less than your maintenance rate. So ideally you're going to lose weight. It's forcing you to eat less food. Just in general, you're looking at caloric intake only, right? There's lots of different ways you could go. So just do what works best for you and what's going to be consistent, but consider your relationship with the food as well. So if you have a history of disorder eating, then I would highly recommend that you consider talking to a healthcare professional before you kind of start any kind of restrictive diet or things that you're going to start cutting out just to do 75 hard. Find and or talk to somebody that can help you set up a very sustainable nutrition plan while you're doing this. So that, again, you can set yourself up for success. So what about the planning? So you can't forget, you've got to get 2 45-minute workouts in every single day, and one of those has to be outside. And so the logistics here can get a little bit crazy. So my suggestion would be to plan your outside workouts first, since weather and daylight can always be factors and they can always be changing. So having backup plans for extreme weather, can you figure out ways to do bodyweight things underneath like a covered pavilion in a park, right? Or even just a covered awning at like a school, right? There might be some ways to do that. Is there an outside track that you're able to get to pretty consistently? You know it's going to be unlocked or unchained or open that you can use. That will make it a lot easier to plan as well. Again, it's just 45 minutes of physical activity and working out. So I could just be walking around the track for 45 minutes, right? We don't have to make this too complicated. For your normal inside training, just assume that you'll use a gym majority of the time. So if you're a normal 3-day-a-week strength training person, do your normal 3 days a week and then just add in some accessory stuff or mobility work or fluff. Or again, you can use a treadmill, do a piece of cardiovascular work, do some conditioning circuits, right? But just also have some workouts made that you can kind of keep handy in case if your usual gym, you're traveling or whatever, is not available, that we have something ready that you can do, which is like a simple setup of like bands, maybe some yoga equipment, body weight exercises, maybe a kettlebell or just a pair of dumbbells, right? Very minimal equipment. Have some workout options in the bank, in your phone, whatever, whenever you need them. From the water side, a gallon of water might sound simple for some people, but it does require a little bit of planning. So if you don't know, a gallon is 128 ounces, technically 8 normal water bottles that you would get. You obviously can't drink that all at one time, so you're going to have to space everything out, as I mentioned, and that's entirely okay. Personally, for me, I've already tried to do this, drink a gallon of water every single day, being physically active, being outside, my gym not having AC. For me, getting a gallon of water is pretty much pretty easy. Now, I do get some diet soda and things like that, and that does count towards that coffee as well. But getting 128 ounces of fluid in, for me, is not necessarily a difficult thing, but it may be challenging for you, especially if you've only been drinking say 60 to 70 ounces a day, that's a pretty big increase in water. So a practical approach is to drink basically a quote-unquote bottle of water when you get up, or 16 ounces. Get that knock out of the way. You're probably going to be dehydrated anyways from a nice long sleep. That's a quick way to get that in. And then when you actually work out, try to drink about 32 ounces, or basically like a blender bottle, shaker bottle full of water each workout. If you do that, that's going to get you 64 more additional ounces because you got two workouts in a day. Don't forget that. And then spread the rest of it throughout the day, just sipping based upon your schedule. Try to have a system in place. Like, that's a good starting point for most people. You might say, hey, I'm going to make sure that I drink 8 ounces before every meal, or 8 ounces after every meal. When you sit down to eat, that's also a way to check off some ounces as well as you're going. Some strategy for the reading side. So the very simple ones, there's going to be pick your books in advance. Find some books that you've been dying to read, or have come with high remarks, or talk to friends that read nonfiction and have found things that have done well for them, and piggyback off of them to have some books that you can plan for. For most people, 10 pages might take 15 to 20 minutes, but it could be as low as maybe 8 minutes if you're reading something that's more accessible and you're really like into it and you're a quicker reader. So again, pretty dependent upon the amount of content that's in that, because, you know, smaller typing and whatnot, more dense content is going to take longer to turn 10 pages than if it's kind of blown up like some are, to just make the book look a little meatier, even though it's really probably only a 100-page book and it's blown up to 250 pages. You get what I'm saying. The physical books are often easier to track than the digital, but use whatever format technically ensures that you'll actually read consistently. My wife is a big Kindle person, so she would definitely go towards a Kindle, but she's also a big fiction person. So, you know, just pick what works best for you. But me personally, I like the physical book. I like being able to turn the page. I like having the tangible object in me. But at the end of the day, it's what works best for you, especially if you're traveling a lot. A Kindle may be great, especially if you don't have extra books. You can always have some in your Kindle ready to go, or your Libby account if you happen to do like the digital library cards. So also, talking about the reading, consider your reading environment. Where are you going to read when you travel? Are you going to read during your lunch breaks? Are you going to have like a dedicated spot every day where you try to read at home? You get like a room that works well, read in your car, right? You want a place that when you do this, you can actually absorb the information, right? If you're going to put in this kind of commitment, get the information out of the book that you're choosing to read, whatever that happens to be. Actually set yourself up to retain the information you're going to read. On the progress photo side of things, it might seem like the easiest rule, but it can be pretty problematic if you don't have a system in place. So being consistent with your time, location, your lighting, and your pose really is important when you want to track like your physical progress. And you know, I don't coach bodybuilders. I don't do any of that stuff. But from the nutrition side, I always offer people the ability to provide their progress photos, and I like to have them. But many people just don't want to do them. They're against them. But this is part of the program, so you have to do it. So if you can be consistent, usually for most people, the first thing you wake up is the best thing. Wake up, go to the bathroom. You're probably wearing your underwear or something like that. Leave the tripod out overnight. Put the camera on there, 10-second timer. Stand there in your wake-up face and just deal with it. That's going to be the best thing you can do. You can always do it in the same spot. You're probably always going to have the same lighting. And when you wake up, you're not going to want to pose for anything. So just get the ugly morning pose out of the way. And from a clothing perspective, try to wear the same clothes. If you're a guy or a girl, obviously, you know, your underwear, your shorts or whatever are going to change. But at the end of the day, it's really just for you. So if you want to be completely butt naked and you're just going to keep them to yourself, roll with that too. Keep them somewhat organized. Ideally, if you can keep them in a certain folder on your phone, that would be the best thing, so that you can see them in order and you can maybe create some side-by-sides in Canva or something like that if you really want to, but you also don't have to obsess over either. So the real value here is just the accountability of doing it. And the big thing is going to be that first picture to that last picture. That's going to be kind of the important thing. You're also going to want to give yourself a good support system. How many people are you going to want to tell that you're doing 75 hard? Do you want to tell anybody? Some people will be super supportive if they know what it is. They'll be like, man, that's great. I'm proud of you. You know, let me know how I can help you to make sure that you're able to stay on this. And some people will just choose to not tell anybody. They'll just start making the changes from day one and hats off to those people. That can also work as well. You just need to make sure that you have ways to communicate with people when they ask you to go out for a drink or do something social setting wise, right? Or you're having to go to the park to do a workout or whatever. People might say something about how recently you've been going and doing things from a physical activity standpoint. You might have to be able to have that discussion at some point as well. But if you are going to share it publicly, you are going to get the pros and the cons, and that's the support, and you are going to get criticism. Not everyone's going to understand your commitment, and that really goes with anything in life that's goal-oriented. And some people might pressure you into making exceptions or bad decisions. That should be a red flag, just in case if you were one to know. Let's talk about how you can handle the social situations. So, again, pre-planning, practicing, explaining your commitment in advance of what you're going to say. What is your why? And I'm big on this in training. I'm really big on this in any kind of decision-making process in general. But you need to know your why. And if you know your why, and it comes from somewhere of passion and deep inside you that you genuinely care about, being able to explain your commitment will be much easier. So something worth considering. So going back to the alcohol, someone offers you an alcoholic drink or they press you to skip a workout, you need to figure out how you're going to respond and navigate that, or at least have some ideas of the routes that you're going to take and how you're going to say, this is what's best for me at this time because, and here's why you made that decision. So you can have some standard phrases ready to reduce the mental energy. But I think, again, if you, for this piece, if you have your why, that will be your mental and moral compass. An example that I came up with that you can use if you want to is that I'm in the middle of a 75-day challenge. So I'm not drinking right now, but I'd love to have blah, 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 blah. Whatever drink will fit your nutrition plan that doesn't have alcohol, clearly. That could be, you know, a diet K soda or a diet soda of any kind, right? Or sparkling water or maybe a juice, right? Something that you can be in the occasion with, but you're not going to have alcohol. Or if somebody asks you to do something and you're trying to get that last workout in for the day, hey, I need to get my outdoor walk in today. Can I meet you after I'm done? Or, hey, I'm going for a walk to meet my outdoor physical activity for the day. Would you like to join? Okay, you can try to invite people into what you're doing so that you're not necessarily telling them, no, you can't spend time with them. Just you're providing an alternative to spend time with them, something worth considering. And how you can get things to collaborate together so that you're not trading off necessarily doing something for yourself physically versus somebody that's important to you. You can figure out a way to make it work for both of you. Excuse me. Let's talk about the recovery and the rest strategy side of things. So two workouts a day for 75 days is going to be a lot of physical stress, especially if you're somebody that is doing very minimal physical activity. You're going to go from not a whole lot to a lot very quickly. So you need to be able to plan for adequate sleep because you're going to be way more tired. You need to consider implementing mobility work. And I think that's a great thing to add into some of those workouts, especially from the outside workout perspective. You can figure out how to put in some of that mobility work in with what you're doing outside at like the park or with a significant other. I think that's a great idea. And then you also just want to pay attention to signs of overtraining and listening to your body. So it's not necessarily about training with the maximum intensity every day and going hard on each every single workout. It's about being consistent and being physically active so that some days your workouts are going to be light. Again, going back to mobility work or yoga or going for a walk, right? Or going on a hike for the dogs, relatively lighter on the activity side. And then you have some days that you actually go do some hard strength training. You're going to be in the gym. You're going to lift some heavy stuff. You're going to push yourself. You're going to feel good. My recommendation, if you're going to have to do two workouts a day, you probably try to do that one in the morning, unless if you know that the weather is going to be bad in the evening. But you get the idea, because you can put more effort to that on the front end, and the back end can be a little more tailored towards that recovery side. But whatever you choose to do, as long as you're meeting the time requirements and being physically active, ultimately that's what's important. Having some kind of structure will just set you up for more success in terms of the long-term commitment of the 75 days. So let's talk about what happens if you have to restart, which many people do. And I think it's great that you probably set up a plan to restart, or if you have to, what that's going to look like. You don't want that to happen, but it's inevitable that it probably will for some of you if you do choose to do it. So how will you handle the mental disappointment piece of it, and what will you do differently in your next go around of your next 75 days? And so I want you to remember that it's in the program, it's recommended that restarting isn't a failure. You're just getting extra training. You needed a little more time to take this serious, to understand what it takes. And it's not a punishment. Okay, it's not like you fucked up, now you got to do it again. No, that's not the mental wiring that you're trying to get. You're saying, hey, I had an issue meeting this commitment. I slipped. Time to turn it back on. Let's do this again. Right? You got to have that mental framework of that's how you're going to approach it. And being able to admit that is making progress on the mental front as well. Let's talk about some of the tracking and the monitoring side. So really need to work, use what works best for you in terms of what you're tracking, and whether it's your calories or your food or your water, but you want to be consistent. So most people in today's world are probably going to use some kind of app, especially when you're tracking macros or you're tracking steps. You know, those are good things that you can use. You might even have like a reminder on your phone to drink water. Some people may choose to use like a spreadsheet or checklists. Lots of different apps you can use. Just use what works best for you to be consistent and make sure you're doing things and basically hitting all five rules every single day. But the ultimate key is to make sure you have a system that makes it impossible for you to get what you've completed each day. That way you constantly know, yep, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. I did it all. That day is done. Go to the next day. And then consider just tracking more than just the completion of each rule or quote-unquote task. You might also consider tracking how do you feel, maybe at the end of the day when you're going to bed, after you've read that book, 3 to 5 minutes. With today's technology, you can go voice to text. You can literally talk into your phone for 2 minutes and probably have a pretty good synopsis of how you felt for the day and not have to actually do any physical work of typing or writing. You might mention any challenges. Somebody tried to offer you a drink or, you know, skip a workout. You might mention the positives. I think it's incredibly important if you are seeing positives or you're feeling really good about certain things that you denote those so that you can continue to use those in subsequent days. And all that information, in my opinion, is going to push you forward into being more successful with the 75 days. So as I wrap up this episode over 75 hard, I want to kind of leave you with some final thoughts that go beyond the program of just 75 hard itself. So the real question at the end of this episode, really the big thing you need to ask yourself is 75 hard the right program for you? And whether you're actually ready to discover what you can get out of this program and what can happen if you choose to eliminate excuses and to fully commit to something for 75 days, all five of those things. So the big picture here is that it's really kind of a microcosm of life, that every day you're faced with choices between what's easy and what's aligned with your long-term goals. I've always heard the great saying, you can trade in what you want now for what you want now, or you can trade in now for what you want for the future. Right? So basically, you have two options right in front of you right now. You can trade in what you really want for what you want right now. It might be a piece of pizza. And you're trading in what the long-term goal is, an improved health. Now, that's got a very big picture look. That one piece of pizza is probably not going to ruin your health and fitness goals, but it doesn't move you towards your health and fitness goals, right? Unless if you are eating less calories than you're supposed to eat to lose weight. But you get the picture of making those small choices day in and day out build you closer towards that goal. That's really kind of what this program is all about. But it's going to compress all that into 75 days of very, very structured environmental choices. And if there's consequences of bad choices are very clear, it's starting over. So whether you actually choose to do 75 hard or not, the principles behind it are pretty universally applicable to your everyday life. So the ability to keep commitments when you don't feel like it, to maintain a high quality standard regardless of circumstances, and choose long-term benefit over immediate gratification. And we're in an immediate gratification society so, so bad right now, which is why I think the psychology piece of this program is huge for people that are stuck in that immediate and instant gratification area of life. And they being able to do this can predict quality success and help you improve the quality of your life, not only on the mental front, but as we've talked about, on the physical side as well, as you begin to develop throughout the program, improve nutritional habits, improve your sleep habits, lose weight. Hopefully, if you're increasing your activity that much and making better nutrition choices, you're probably going to lose weight. I would probably even lose weight if I kind of did all of these things in this program. So something I want you to consider is that success with 75 hard isn't necessarily about completing all 75 days, the sun, the first attempt. Definitely want you to, but that's not what it's about. It's about what you learn throughout the process and what kind of gives, what kind of makes you, I want to say give in to things, but what's the hard part of you keeping your commitments? Maybe you learn that you're capable more than what you actually thought. Maybe you discover patterns that you think have been holding you back. Maybe you even identify areas where you need additional support or different strategies in your life. Maybe there's just certain things about physical activity that you just have a hard time doing. So having an accountability partner or training partner can be great. Or a spouse or loved one in with you is somebody that helps you stay more true to better nutritional approaches if you do things together and you're making your meals together rather than having you just be responsible for making your lunch and she's responsible making for her lunch or vice versa. You can flip this around however you want. And you're going your different routes throughout the nutrition approach, but if you bring your approaches together and you guys just control your portion sizes and you try to have better quality options as a family or as a couple, right? That's what me and my wife typically try to do as well. So some of the most powerful and impressive transformations that I've heard about come from people who had to restart the program before they actually completed it, because restarting them taught them just as much as the completion side did. So I want to make sure that's clear that, like, I want to wish you success if you've not done it to get it done in the first try. But the truth is you probably are going to have a hurdle somewhere. Majority of you, I would say, I don't have the statistics in front of me. I would be interested to know what they are. There's probably not a study or anything done on that. But I'd be willing to bet that half the people fail on the first try. So if you decide to take 75 hard on, remember that it's not a lifestyle, okay? This is advanced mental training more so than anything else. The value comes into how you integrate it into your daily life after the 75-day challenge is over. You might not continue working out twice daily, and I would probably, as a professional, not recommend that you do, but you might maintain the habit of non-negotiable daily movement, and I think that's huge. Getting the 10,000 steps, this program builds you into strength training 3 days a week and getting 10,000 steps every single day. And those 75 hard got you to that habit. To me, that is a major, major win that most people could really benefit from. You might not stick to the nutrition plan that you came up with indefinitely, but you might keep the habit of prepping your meals, having so many fruits and vegetables throughout the day, increasing your fiber intake, increasing your protein intake. Those little things are huge, and what we try to, as a fitness professional, get people to do from improving their habits. So the key is identifying which elements of the program revealed something important about how you operate best as a person, and then building sustainable versions of those practices into the rest of your life. That's what's important. And for me personally, I'm not going to do 75 hard. So here's my challenge for you. Whether or not you actually choose to do 75 or hard or not, I'm going to leave that up to you. I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm just merely providing you with the information. But here's something you can do. Identify one area of your life where you consistently make excuses or give yourself permission to quit when things get difficult. Just one area. Maybe that's your physical activity. Maybe that's drinking water. Maybe that's eating fruits and vegetables. For me, vegetables, definitely those things. I talked about my brushing my teeth thing. Vegetables is another thing that I really struggle with. For sure, don't get enough of. And I push back on them hard. They're just not something that I enjoy eating. But I do try to push myself to have at least one a day, to give you an idea. So exercise size, maybe it's learning a new skill. Maybe it's how you show up in your relationships. Pick something where you know you lack or follow through is costing you. Those are powerful things that can improve your life, not just your physical well-being, right? Relationships are huge. So basically just take that and design a mini 75 hard. Basically take the principle. What would it look like for you to make that area a non-negotiable? Let's just say for 7 days, for a week. Figure out how you can find something that you can immediately improve upon that's going to improve your life and help you either with, like I said, with a skill or a relationship or physical activity or your health or your quality of life, that you can do it for 7 days. And that there's no exceptions. There's no quote-unquote good enough. There's no partial credit for just the full week. And then you can figure out, what did you learn about that? How did that change your self-confidence, your trust in yourself? Did you feel better? Did you see positives? Did you see negatives? What were the challenges that you had? And is this something that you can implement more long-term? Can we go 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks? And we start building towards 75 days and maybe just one habit. So you don't have to necessarily commit to 75 hard from the very beginning, but you can use this core principle. And that transformation happens when you stop negotiating with yourself and you start following through regardless of how you feel in the moment. So whether you're actually trying to improve your health, your confidence, relationships, your career advancement, or just have a deeper understanding of what you're capable of, I think the principles behind 75 hard point towards this exact thing of importance, and that's extraordinary results come from ordinary actions performed consistently, especially when you don't freaking feel like it. Doing the shit that you don't want to do, but you know you should do. Kind of circling back to the beginning of the episode. So this program is just one vehicle to the destination. So the destination is just a better version of yourself that you can count on, and what really matters at the end of the day. That's what I like about pieces of this program. Again, for me personally, I think for the average person that finds out about 75 hard, 75 hard is probably not for them at this time. I think they need to understand from like this episode, the principles of what is trying to get to have happen, positive change, sustainable change, no excuses, black and white, you did it or you didn't do it, and take those principles and find something that you can implement it into your life. And that's what I think is going to be great. So I appreciate you joining me on today's deep dive episode. We're at 1 hour and 3 minutes into just 75 hard. If this episode resonated with you, you liked it, I'd really love to hear about it. You can let me know in the comment sections below over on YouTube. You can also let me know leaving a rating over on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, leave me a nice 5-star rating if you happen to like the episode. If it lets you leave a comment, some of them do, some of them don't, I'm not sure anymore. You can do that there. You can also send me a message over on Instagram at bsmitley. Let me know you listened to the episode. Let me know if you liked it, what you took away, all that. I would love to hear from you. And more importantly, you can share it with somebody who might actually benefit from understanding the concepts. Obviously, if you know somebody that's done 75 hard or is interested in 75 hard, then share this episode with them so they can be educated on what the program is and isn't and what they can expect from it and really what the underlying benefits are of the program. And maybe they can make a decision of whether it's for them or not, or that they can take a principle away from the program and apply it to their lifestyle to be able to make more progress. So my quick disclaimer as well, before I let you go here, is that for me personally, again, I would not do 75 hard, but I think the key here again is finding those habits that you can implement into your daily lifestyle. And what many people don't want to understand is that they're looking at this as a physical transformation, not a mental transformation, where many of health and fitness decisions are made at the mental level. And that's what I really want you to kind of understand for today's episode. And what I dove into here is that making the choice to eat your vegetables, eat fruits, not eat the fast food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, actually do physical activity, put effort into that physical activity, not just go walk on the treadmill, which there's nothing wrong with that. Start somewhere, but the more effort that you put, the more you'll get in return. Making smart health decisions when it comes to alcohol, drugs, addictive behaviors, focusing on quality communication with significant other friends, family members, decrease stress. A lot of those things happen by making choices. And those choices can sometimes be very hard. And that's where I think a program like this shines. If you can understand and give yourself the opportunity to look at something of it's either yes or no, black or white, zero or one. Make the right decision 80% of the time that it comes time to make the right decision, if not more, the better. You're going to be in a better spot rather than choosing the Arby's over the salad, right? Or choosing to drink water over having the energy drink. Nothing that I'm against energy drinks, but they're overdrank. So you get my point, is that making those right decisions and giving yourself just a black and white framework to operate from will let you make better decisions in the long run. So I really appreciate you being here for today's episode. Again, like I said, hit that like button if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe, it's completely free. I really appreciate it. If you're not subscribed, you can catch more episodes like this, and I'll see you at the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Thirst for More podcast. Make sure you give us a follow on Spotify, iTunes, or anywhere else you like to consume your podcast. You can also check us out on YouTube at The Smitley, where you'll find clips and lots of educational-based material for strength and conditioning and exercise science. You can also make sure you give me a follow on Instagram at bsmitley or at Team Thirst, which is my gym Instagram page. For any more future updates on episodes to come, you can make sure you follow me there. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you at the next episode.